हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 43. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon Him by speaking His holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as Bhagavat Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. So we see is that being absorbed in the Lord, but doing that with affection, right? Not a temporary affection, because it says a genuine affection, because that means that it's always there. That loyalty is there. While there might be that affection for some time to get an effect that you want, but once getting that, you give that up. So that's not what they're talking about here.
The Lord has more affection to us than we for Him.
Yes, yes. That's why he's you know, around and making this facility. Otherwise, for how much we ignore Him, you know, anyone else would have given up a long time ago. Yes. But He's still waiting. Sri Krishna to Uddhava. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11:26. My devotees may or may not know exactly what I am, who I am, and how I exist. But if they worship me with unalloyed love, then I consider them to be the best of devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:11:33. Right, so here it's not, they don't need to know mechanically about Him so much. We know the basics. You know, we may not know so many details. But that doesn't matter to Krishna. He's still considered to be the best devotee if they worship Him with that unalloyed love. An intelligent person should therefore reject all bad association and instead take up the association of saintly devotees, whose words cut off the excessive attachment of one's mind. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:26:26. Prabhu went? So that's the point, is that the saintly association then gives directions on pure devotional service. They'll give it in context of your conditioned position, but it's not about cultivating the conditioned position. You want to cross that conditioned position. So that means that the instruction has to be based on transcendental. The idea is that, oh, no one should be disturbed by anything. Point is it's a matter of them being able to appreciate what's beyond. And if that disturbs them, then how is giving the truth a disturbance? Because the person who will say is, oh, you can't disturb them, but at the same time, if it comes to truth, they'll happily speak the truth and disturb the minds of so many other people. Right? But so that's the point in the name of truth, is when it's about Krishna, knowing about our actual position. So you try your best to not disturb them, but if they become disturbed, then what can you do? Sri Krishna to Uddhava, Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20, 27-30, and 36. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. My devotee knows that all sense enjoyment gratification leads to a miserable result. He sincerely repents such activities. So he knows it leads there, but just by whatever it is, habit or this or that, then they're attached to that position. But they know that it won't actually gain anything. That's why that's the special point. They have faith. Right? Because the faith is defined that it's about the Lord. Right?
Yes.
Not about the material. So they have faith that just the spiritual is the real thing. But there's some attachment to the material, and they feel bad about that. But they perform their duties in connection with these activities that may be connected with sense gratification, and they go on and happily worship the Lord. So it's not a problem that these things are there. It's a problem because they're focused on the Lord. They have the proper faith, so they're rightly situated. Right? So again, just as we were saying this morning, that it's not about what's going on, it's what's the intent. Then you can tell what's material, what's spiritual. Because you can be doing the nicest activity, but the intent is not about pleasing Krishna, it's material. While you can be doing not so, just an ordinary activity, but to please Krishna, then it becomes spiritual. So it's not due to the quality of the item. Now, since it's for Krishna, you try to use, of course, the best items for Krishna. But it's not about the item. In the same way as if something's not going right, someone has material attachments. But the point is if they're absorbed in Krishna, then understand that it's not an ideal situation, then it works very nicely. They will advance. You could say, no, but they're doing something wrong. But what is the point of the wrong? What makes the wrong spiritual, what makes the wrong good or bad? Right? It depends upon what's the purpose of it. So if you think that, no, if they do like this, then there'll be all these nice material facilities, then it's a material perception. Right? But if it's seen that the person understands the position and repents that position, but is, going forward in their life, then their mentality is spiritual. So what does the material matter? Yeah. Then it's like spots on the moon. Mm-hmm. You could say, so I'm just being straightforward and truthful. No one else will say it, but the spots on the moon. What's the big deal about the moon? Mm-hmm. But that's not, but the point is the effect of the moon, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? So one has to be able to see what the intent is. That's the point. What's the goal of their activities? Right? So if their goal is that they'll enjoy, and by enjoyment they'll be happy, and this enjoyment can make them happy, then we're dealing with something material. If it's a matter of you want to please Krishna, but one has bad habits, so then the problem comes up is that, but it's not that these will make you happy. You know that. The devotee knows that. But by habit, they're inclined in this way. Does this make sense? But they know it won't give happiness. They have faith that only Krishna consciousness will give them happiness. And they sincerely, feel bad about this, but they move forward. They don't lament, because that's mode of ignorance. So how will that help? Does that make sense? Like that. Because we're used to happiness or distress. So therefore, if they're not lamenting in the distress, then it's not sincere. But that's on the material platform. That's the measurement on the material platform. Spiritual is how much you're moving forward to please Krishna. And so therefore, if one holy name is so powerful, then you want to engage yourself as much as you can in that, not focus on how something that's improper, how that's creating all the problem. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm not sure whether you can help clarify the concept of the guilt. There is room for guilt in spiritual life if you have challenges and you can't deal with...
But it's guilt not based on the mode of ignorance. That's the difference. Modern guilt's based on the mode of ignorance.
From my reading of Prabhupada's books over the years, and I've seen how guilt is portrayed in Krishna consciousness, I have found personally that it's a lot has to do with Judeo-Christian.
Yes, of course. Because in other words, the perfection is you do something wrong, and then you should, walk barefoot to the temple, you know, on, you know, either freezing cold or blistering hot. Ideally, even better if you did it on your knees. And all the while, you would have a cat of nine, and you'd be flailing yourself and lamenting and crying and all that. And you'd do that all in front of the devotees, and then you would be remorseful. Because devotees aren't used to the mode of goodness, that it's not right, so it shouldn't be done, so that you have that determination you try to do. And then you may be successful or not, but you keep that determination, because you know only Krishna consciousness will make you happy. But this, like you said, the eternal damnation, all this is purely mundane. It's purely from their background, because if they grew up as a Buddhist, they wouldn't be saying that. You know? It's only because of the you know, that Abrahamic background that they have this concept of that evil is its own separate entity, that the devil is a separate entity that's not under the control of God. Because in the Vedic, God controls everything. Right? Because then at least I feel a little better, is that, oh yes, I'm doing bad stuff, but, you know, someone else is actually in control of that. But in the Vedic, it's that bad's happening to you because you're bad. You do bad stuff happens. It's not the fault of the devil. You know what I'm saying? So then it takes, you have to take more responsibility and all that. The other, you can project it.
So would you say there's no room for guilt in Krishna consciousness?
Means, Prabhupada used, what's the term used here? Where was that? Repent. Yeah, but it also is not a Judaic Christian repent. You know, you don't walk around with all those you know, sandwich board and repent, the end is nigh, and you know all that. Yeah. Yeah. So one feels bad that it's done, but not bad where the mode of ignorance, you don't function. Your identity as a servant of Krishna remains. Where you see is that, oh, I'm bad, I can't do this, I can't do service, I can't chant. Then that's mode of ignorance. Is that, this is that, I have to try harder. I have to, you know, the best I can. And you're practical in seeing what's there. So therefore, then you have to try to regulate, try to, you know, if you see that attachment's not going easily, you have to regulate it. Try to find which way it can be engaged, what aspect of it can be engaged. In some way, try to purify it. You know, this idea that it's there, and so then, you know, you're right off. Then that's not Vedic, like that. Because in the modern, it doesn't get anywhere. It doesn't do anything. You know, so it's just destructive. You're destructive to yourself, and then if you actually feel guilty like that, and feel bad, and don't do anything, and step out of everything, and then all the people that are pushing it, then if you find out that any one of them is doing bad. Now you have retribution, right? And then you come back and just destroy everything. So where is the benefit here? You know, I mean, it makes great themes for movies and stuff like that, but it's not. It doesn't solve the problem of human life. Yeah. Yeah, so that when an intelligent person engages constantly in worship me through loving devotional service as described by me, his heart becomes firmly situated in me. That's the key. Is that pure devotion, then by the Lord's grace you become firmly fixed in devotion to the Lord. Thus, all material desires are in the heart are destroyed. That's how anartha nivritti takes place. It takes place by faith, not by the ritual you're performing. It's by the faith. Someone with faith performs the proper activities. But it's the faith that destroys all the anarthas. You understand? It's not by the ritual that it destroys. It means it's, but with faith you get up in the morning and go to and practice spiritual life. It's not that by doing those rituals that's what destroys the anarthas. Because the smartas are also getting up in the Brahma Muhurta. Right? And they don't have to wrestle with it each day. You know, I'm sure, a good chance they don't have to have snooze on their alarms. It's just time to get up. They get up. That's all. You know, drag it out for another hour and a half. Or, Yeah. So, but their heart's not becoming purified. They're becoming pious, but they're not becoming purified in material desire because they don't have faith in Krishna, in devotional service.
We do become purified, but we still wrestle with this mood.
But the point is you'll see is what you're wrestling with is smaller and smaller. You know, maybe the same thing. If something's there for a longer time, you know that that's just deeper. So then you have to, that other thing, so many things just go away. But it just takes time. You keep at it, then it'll work. Because the point is the faith that it won't make you happy. Only Krishna consciousness will make you happy. There's the idea that it can make me happy. Then it's the faith isn't strong enough to actually destroy the anartha. Right? But if its faith is there that it can't, but you're still attached to it, then you'll see it'll go away. If we think that no, it can make me happy. So if nothing else after involvement, then if you can appreciate that it won't make you happy, then that will slowly start to affect it after a while. Sometime then you start to be able to be before it comes, you're starting to be able to look at it from there, right? Because otherwise desire tends to, you know, as Gita says, then it just, the intelligence is lost because of attachment. But if you keep thinking like this and praying to look, then you start to see that it can't. You can see the difference between Krishna consciousness and between material desire. So if that interest in devotional services, they're interested in pleasing Krishna, then Krishna will give that ability to see the difference. But you have to be looking for it. Otherwise, why will he show himself if we're not interested? You know, yes, something to get something, but the point is that ongoing is because we have that ongoing desire. So if there's an occasional desire, then occasionally it's there. If we have that ongoing desire, then it becomes, Krishna becomes, as it says, firmly situated. He becomes fixed in the heart, because that's what devotee wants. So it's just a matter of, if we have that faith, we keep doing, and with time it'll work. You know, so it does work. Therefore, for a devotee engaged, Therefore, a devotee engaged in my loving service with mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not the means of achieving the highest perfection within this world. Right? So, it's not generally. It means it can be used, but it's fixing the mind on Krishna is what brings one to the topmost platform. Mm-hmm. If by cultivation of the knowledge and renunciation that helps that, you use it. That's why these religious processes are there. They're there to assist bhakti. But it's not that they are what's going to make bhakti successful. It's not that you gave up the material world. It wasn't yours in the first place. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, somebody has taken something. So that they give it back, that's what not, doesn't make them a good person. It just means that they're not a bad person. Right? So the knowledge and renunciation can bring you to the neutral point. It doesn't bring you to the positive. The positive is that devotion to Krishna. Right? So, we're cultivating the devotion to Krishna. But at the same time, as we may be using knowledge and detachment, because to advantage to help us in the process. Is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything that can be achieved by fruit of activities, penance, knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. If somehow or other my devotee desires promotion to heaven, liberation, or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benedictions. Because they're fixed in Krishna. If there is any material desire, then these are easily obtained. Mm-hmm. It's not that they can't. We can say, but I've been waiting so long, working so hard. It just means you're not supposed to have it. That's all. For Krishna to arrange these things is easy. It's his energy. So what's the problem? But we're not getting it because there's a reason. Right? Because the idea is to be Krishna conscious. Right? So Krishna consciousness, then we're there, then all things can be achieved. Material piety and sin, which arise from the good and evil of this world, cannot exist within my unalloyed devotees, who, being free from material hankering, maintain steady spiritual consciousness in all circumstances. Indeed, such devotees have achieved me, the Supreme Lord, when beyond anything that can be conceived by material intelligence. Right, so the material piety and sin, they come from the good and bad of this world. Because actual piety means being absorbed in Krishna, actual sin means forgetting Krishna. So you can be sinful on the spiritual platform, but on the material platform be considered pious. Does that make sense? Or on the material considered impious because you're not performing all the mundane duties, you know, to enjoy the world, but you can be situated in the transcendental position of piety. Does that make sense? Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prickett about Vidura, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.1.19. While so traversing the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by taking his bath in holy places, although he was in the dress of a mendicant and had no hair dressing, nor a bed on which to lie. Thus he was always unseen by his various relatives. Right, because his relatives wouldn't be able to see, because in their mind, what is the relative attached to? A particular concept of who you are and how you fit in their life. Right? So, he's not dressed how they're used to seeing, he's not, you know, having his nice headdress, he's not sleeping in a nice bed and all that, so that means he's out sleeping under trees or like this. So, even if they saw him, they wouldn't see him. Because they wouldn't be looking there. So they don't hear, they don't see. Because they'll be asking, you know, did he stay here in this inn? You know, they'll be looking for, okay, he's at this level of social status. He would stay in this particular place. He would be dressed like this. He would look. So anyone they inquire, no one's seen that person. Yeah, because they have their material concept. And then there's, yeah. Yes. What's favorite? Narad Muni to Dhruva Maharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam 4, 8, 29, 33, and 34. The process of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very wonderful. One who is intelligent should accept that process and be satisfied with whatever comes, favorable or unfavorable, by his supreme will. So the process is wonderful. So having that dependency on the Lord, how things come and everything like that, that dependence on the Lord, satisfied with whatever comes, that's favorable to Krishna consciousness. Right? It's a nice situation. Not nice, you're just happy in that because you can serve the Lord. Right? You're always able to serve the Lord. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness. But so whatever the position, you try to be satisfied. Because that's what you have. No use being dissatisfied with what you have, because that won't make it any better. You know? Does that make sense? I mean, you can try it as an experiment. You're traveling, you get something to eat. You eat it, it's not very special at all. Right? Does that make sense? Okay? So, just by being dissatisfied with that flavor of that item, does it now suddenly become now a gourmet item and fabulous?
No.
No? Yeah, so the point is dissatisfaction doesn't solve any problem. So that's why then you're satisfied and you move forward in Krishna consciousness. Because that's the only positive thing. Acting in a way that we're situated transcendentally, there the soul will be satisfied. Because you have to remember who you're trying to satisfy. Is yourself, the soul. The body, you can never satisfy. Right? Why? because the soul is not the body. So whatever you do for the body still is not going to affect the soul. Does that make sense? You know, if you had a video game where you could eat in the video game, will you get rid of your hunger? Doesn't matter how much you eat, what you eat, the quality of what you eat. You won't be satisfied. Right? Hence, there's a good chance they therefore don't have that in video games. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is it doesn't matter what you arrange for the body, the soul will never be satisfied. That's guaranteed. Right? So, you're dealing with the body as much as the mind will be peaceful. You won't be happy because it's not possible. Right? You can just be, it's not a botheration. Right? That's what you arrange. But don't worry, botheration will come anyway. Right? But because the mentality is adjusted, therefore even the disturbing things won't be so disturbing. And with time, then they're not disturbing at all. So that's why these examples are given of these great devotees where they're able to be situated like that. It's a neutral position. With the material world, we're neutral. And then we engage at Yukta Vairagya in the Lord's service. So we're not enthusiastic about it. We're not disturbed by it. It's just we're neutral. Because that's because it's all dead matter. So the material energy is neutral. It doesn't care. Right? The body doesn't care. But because we're attached to it, we try to arrange things. And then if we arrange according to what we like, we call that happiness. And we don't, we call that distress. But the body actually doesn't matter. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. When the soul's in the body, then one is reluctant to die. But we don't see dead bodies complaining about how annoying it is and boring it is to be dead. You know what I'm saying? You go down to the, what do you call it? The morgue. And, you know, somebody pulls out one of the boxes and all that. And then the dead body inside goes, wow, finally something's happening today. You know, like that. It's really getting boring in there. You know? You say, being dead's overrated. You know, it's like, no, it doesn't happen. So that's the thing. Material nature doesn't care. It's neutral. Like that. So the positive thing is engaging in Lord's service. Right? And the controller of material energy, that's what she's looking for, that we're engaged in the Lord's service. Then things go better. Because we're thinking, no, we're going to go through the mechanics in the material world. That's how we're going to get everything. But that's on the neutral platform. So if something's neutral, it's just like this. If you're in a neutral state of mind about something, then you don't care if they do something or not. So if they do it properly, then it's okay. They'll get the result. But if they don't do it properly, they're not going to get a result. Because you're not looking for one. Does that make sense? So therefore, on the material platform, how well you're able to perform the rituals of karma, then only you get that much result. And you won't get more, because there's no interest. You know what I'm saying? When there's interest, then you get more. You know, it's like a child. They do something nice, you give them more. You know, it's like that with the fruit seller, the lady. Krishna's coming out. He's trying, but in doing when he gets there, he's either got practically nothing left or nothing. But she just feels this, how much fruit he can carry. You know what makes sense? Because it's just because of that affection. So that's what we're dealing with. If you're thinking that, no, by material activity I'll get material results, you're dealing with something neutral. And to that degree that you perform the result properly, according to Maya's standard, we can say, no, but it's the modern world, you have to do it in that way. Maya's still in control. So if you don't please her, you don't get anything. Literally. Not at least anything good. Bad, you can have as much as you want. You know what I'm saying? But you won't get anything. And she is a servant of Krishna. That means when you try to do things according to the recommendation of the acharyas, and to please Krishna, she's pleased. She's a devotee. That's what the material world's for, is going back to Godhead. It's not for something else. So then why wouldn't the material facilities be there, even though you're not looking for it? So, does that make sense? So one has to understand what you're dealing with. So that's why satisfaction is recommended, because being unsatisfied does not solve any problems. Because, no, but being unsatisfied, then people went on to greatness and you know, did great things and invented and got knowledge about, were they satisfied after they did that? Right? Do we hear that the Wright brothers were the happiest people on the planet when they figured out how to fly? No. I think there were two brothers. Both were working on the airplane, and they were making great strides in advancement. Then, with time, other people started copying them, like that. And there was a group in France. They came up with something, and then someone else in some other place. Then one of the brothers, because I'm not sure if he had a background or whatever, he just dealt with law, trying to keep it that it's their invention. There's a whole thing. So now you only have one person working on development. So it's by half, and the other guys are going to have a lot of people. And so therefore, then, how did that work out for them? Right? So they're not the happiest people. They were dissatisfied in being on the ground. They wanted to be in the air like a bird. Right? So, yeah, so that's the problem. Is that, yes, but did they become happy? That we don't have any history that anybody has ever become happy. Right? You have your moment here and there, but you know what I'm saying? If you think back all your happy moments, then time-wise add that up. I'm not trying to put anyone in depression. You understand? It's not a great volume of time. That's the point. So you can't say you're happy. You know? People are praying, they say, yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Especially when we become old.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, just you're still breathing. Yeah, life's good. And so how's it going? I'm still alive. Things are great. You know, you make your standards more practical.
This needs some goodness.
Needs goodness. That's why we cultivate goodness. But it's not on its own. It's in devotional service. So you don't. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. You don't have to separately practice. Because goodness means you do something because it should be done. It's recommended by authority, and it's your duty to do, and the opportunity to do it is there for you to apply it. And you do it without attachment. You do it because it's the proper thing to do. At every moment you can practice that. But the separate thing is, no, we have to be nice to each other, cultivate the mode of goodness. It's like, well, why are you being nice? Because because then it'll be, it's nice, then everybody will be happy. Why do you want everyone to be happy? You know, then it'll be a comfortable environment. I'll feel it. So it's about yourself. So it's mode of passion. Where's the goodness? So even being nice is the mode of passion for these people. Mode of goodness is, you're supposed to be nice. Right. Mode of passion is, I'll get benefit by being nice, so therefore I'm nice. And if I don't see any benefit in being nice, I won't be nice. Right? So that's the difference. Right. So as long as you walk in and everyone deals nicely, then you're nice. And as soon as they don't deal nicely, you're not nice. Mode of goodness, then you stay nice. So there's always opportunity to practice it. So this idea you have to do it something separate and use modern techniques, completely unnecessary. Like, devotional service is already complete. That faith, that will get rid of the anarthas. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nescience very easily. Right? Because nescience, the problem is that darkness or that not knowing, not understanding. The point is, if you're always with Krishna doing things for Krishna, what's to not know? Right? Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate towards him. When he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Right? It's a practical point. We hear it from the beginning, so it's something we can do. Practicing this, we're doing this. If you practice this, it'll cultivate goodness. We do this to please Krishna, it'll cultivate devotion. So doing this to please Krishna automatically cultivates the mode of goodness. It's not a separate endeavor. Mother Earth, the Maharaj Prithu, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.18, 4 and 5. One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. So that's then, and that you're utilizing them practically. You're not just hearing them, you're also trying to figure out how will this apply in my life. Right? What situations is so, because it says someone more qualified. Now one thing is we generally, a position. Okay, that's more qualified, so we should be pleased with that. Because someone's in a position, why is that? Because they've worked, they've got to that. But it can also mean just better at something than we are. Right? Just any quality, any activity, any result, they're just better at it. So are we pleased? Or would we be jealous or critical or that's where the practice lies. Right? So that's why he says that someone who uses these practical, we take it and analyze, am I actively dealing like this? And so we appreciate it, because then you can see as if you see work like this, then there's always good association. If you don't work like this, then you can find no association. Right? Like that's that point of Duryodhana. He went all over the whole planet to find someone who was good, and he couldn't find one because he always found a fault. Right? Yudhishthira Maharaj couldn't find one bad person because he saw everyone had some good quality. So it's just a matter of which yeah, which parampara you want to come in. Yes, that's it.
Speaking of Varnashram,
speaking of devotional service. Because Varnashram is already included in devotional service. That's the point. Whatever benefits are there included in devotional service. Because devotional service means you, according to your nature, engage the material energy in Krishna's service without attachment. Right? So that's all Varnashram is saying. But the problem is people will take it just by the secondary. So according to my physical and mental nature, what I can do to get benefit in this world, how I can enjoy in this world. So what occupation, what ashram, all these different things. Varnashram saying this, I mean devotional service, Daiva Varnashram is the same thing. It's just that now you're doing it to please Krishna. That's the definition. You perform material activity for material benefit, it's material. You perform the material activity to please Krishna, it's spiritual, it's devotional service. So it's just a matter of what it is. So it's not a separate thing. Daiva Varnashram, Varnashram aren't separate. Just Varnashram is the mechanics of it, the science of it. And Daiva Varnashram means you're connecting that science for Krishna. So that's Yukta Vairagya, when you use Varnashram in Krishna's service. To reject Varnashram and use everything else and call that Varnashram, nice, if they're connecting to Krishna, that's great, but why not bring it to its full standard? Why be satisfied with a very meager, shred of, civilized social life? Why not use the, broader range? Does that make sense? Yeah. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. Yeah. It can't work. Here it says unimpeachable. This is Bhumi Devi. So she's around for a while. She's seen a lot. Right? So you can't say, oh, but that was from before. Bhumi Devi's an authority. She knows. Okay. So that's the thing, is it does not recognize the authority. Because then we'll say, oh, but it's Kali Yuga, we can't follow that. But the Acharyas have said, so we're not recognizing their authority. Right? That's the whole thing. When we recognize their authority, then we can follow. But when we don't, then what do? Through mental speculation. Then, how do you apply it? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. The speculation comes up. How do you apply it? That's the difficulty. Shastra says how to apply. The Acharyas give us the detail. You know, or application according to our situation. So, that you're trying to make it fit to your situation. But mental speculation means you can be anything. You can go anywhere. Because if you're not accepting authority, then now what do you go on? It's simply your own whim.
You can say that to develop culture means to follow authority.
Yes, that's the first point that's made. That associating with those who are more advanced, that's the key to devotional service. That one thing will make all the other things work. Yes. So we see is that being there, then engaging the religious processes in Krishna's service,
yes,
you know, with knowledge and detachment, that's favorable. But the point is it's being engaged in Krishna's service and the association of devotees. That's the key point. That's what makes the whole thing work. Brahma Tumaris Priyavrata, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.118. One who is situated in a household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five sense organs is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. Yeah, so systematically, you see what's there, you see the duties, you see what areas that you can be involved in, how to situate yourself. And like this, then you gradually work in such a way that everything becomes, stable. Because the difficulty comes up is that if we're not careful, then when do you deal with all these things? And you say, oh, there's so many things, I can't, just pick one then. Right? Follow the basic principles that we do in Krishna consciousness, and then take one of the anarthas. You know, or in a certain situation you deal with one there, in a different situation a different one. You know, at the house you deal with those anarthas, when you're out on the street a different anarthas. You just find, and then systematically just go through it. You know it's there, you analyze it, what you should do, you know, as compared to what you did do, right? Got a situation came up there, I did this, what should I have done? You know, you go through, I should have said this, should have done this, you know, like this. And then you start to make that adjustment. So it's systematic. So if one's aware, then it starts to happen. Krishna will give the ability. But if you're not aware, then it'll just go on.
It's a big world.
It's a big world. Yeah, it's a big world. Yeah, so then when it's trained in household life, because it says, after one has been trained in household life, it means you come into household life with training. Then you get trained in household life, because now the practical application in that and all your situations comes up. When you become trained in that, then you see that material desires can't make you happy. You're not satisfied. So then they start to reduce. Then having reduced like that, then you can move around anywhere without danger, because wherever you go, you won't be affected. Somebody say? So in other words, there's training beforehand, then there's a household life, you get trained in that. In other words, if the training before is enough, then you don't require the household ashram. If you know what to do, but you don't have the realization, then household life, then will give you the realization, right? Because from manana, by practicing and contemplating, then you get realization.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So from the platform of jnana yoga, you can do that without marriage life, then why get involved? But if not, then you get involved, and then using the same knowledge and that, then you apply it, and then with time you start to see, and then it will, you'll get realization, because you already had the knowledge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go in with no knowledge at all, then yes, then by the school of hard knocks, you might learn something. But that, but I would focus more on the devotional side, because that's the actual point we're trying to get to. We're not trying to perfect family life, we're trying to perfect Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? And it says if you become Krishna conscious, then even if things aren't going well, then you're satisfied. So it's workable. So from the devotional service, that's the essential point. Connect that to Krishna, then it goes nicely. Then one can move into vanaprasthanyasa situations in which you can therefore be unaffected by wherever you go and you preach. So it's a process. Mm-hmm. Right? Because then you teach. And then who are you teaching? The others who are getting trained and, you know, before and during household life.
If you start before the full process, there is a problem.
If we
stop before the full process,
yeah. If we stop before, yeah, then there's no realization, and then the desires go on, and any situation you're in, you may get affected. Yes, that's why we're constant. We try to be steady. We're thoughtful. You know, it's all this. You know, I don't want to think about this. You can not think about it, but it won't get any better. Yes.
In our Vaishnav community, we see a lot of young people that we don't see many elderly people. What is that?
Oh, okay. I guess they're realizing more in the training beforehand. And the others, if they're not applying... See, it's a matter of these principles of appreciating the varnashram, being the satisfied, these kind of things. If these are what's being used within household life, then you'll see those individuals will move forward into this renunciation. But if they're using the thing as I'm just being practical, I'm being realistic, you know, I'm not fanatic and all that, then you won't see any of them. Because the point is that they actually think the material life can make them happy. But if they know it can't, and then they function in that way, then you'll see it will happen. Because in any case, it just has to be vanaprast. Doesn't have to be sannyas. Because generally, traditionally, you'd see those of the brahminical nature, sannyas works quite well for them. The others, it may or may not, depending on their devotional advancement. If they're quite advanced devotionally, then they can do it. If not, then generally vanaprastha is their perfect position. So, just seeing that, that makes a strong position. Because the vanaprasthas also have an entrance into the community more, because they're kind of more part of the scene. Sannyasis are kind of not so much the scene. They can come in and give their advice, and then, you know, they should go away. Right? But vanaprasthas are kind of like there. And they see all, know all. Right? You know? How you say? You know, it's like that, what do you call it? This young person gets onto the train, you know, and sits down in the compartment. You know, he's going to a particular place. And then there's an old gentleman there, you know, with the, the double sikhas. And he's sitting there, and he asks, you know, what his name is and where he's going, like this. And then not much more. Then he sits there and thinks, okay, he's of this age, he's of this background, so he's of this, you know, thing, he fits in the community in this way, he's going there. At this time, then there's this particular person's getting married, or is up for getting married. He's in, and he works it all out, and he says, "Oh, so you're going to, you know, attend this way. You're going to marry this, you know, for a, you know, betrothal to this girl or something." And the guy was like, "Wow, how do you know that?" You know, so that's the point. Vanaprastha community is part of that, the scene, and enough where they can observe, but not so much they get entangled. So if you just see that, that would be great. But that means realization. Whether they go into sannyas, what's more important is the mentality that it's for Krishna, yukta vairagya, that it's not about themselves. If that's there, then it's a perfect ashram. So that could be seen. But it's just a matter of applying practically what Krishna consciousness is here. Like that's as Bhumi Devi mentions. So one can't say, "Oh, this is all theory," because here's this is a lady saying it. Right? One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by great sages of the past can realize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. They can enjoy, others can't. The one who's committed to enjoyment won't be able to enjoy. The one who's committed to following the instruction of the great sages and using them practically in their life, they'll be able to enjoy life and the pleasures of life. But it's not about that. So that's why, even though they are, they're not noticing that. They're in a good situation, but to them it's just what, how they serve Krishna. Others will be noticing, oh, everything's very nice for them. Is that... Yeah. So it's just if we practice, if the concept of manana is applied, then any devotee could gain this. But it's not necessarily focused on. Mm-hmm. Right? So either you do your own thing, or it's just, you know, fanatic preaching to, it's just new people out on the street and all that, and once you become a devotee, then we don't care. Yes. So it's either of these two extremes, you know. You know, so it's niyamagraha. They're not moving forward. One is, I'm practical, so I don't need to move forward. The other one is, this is the only thing that they won't move forward into a more broad understanding. So it's niyamagraha. So as long as that's there, then you won't see you won't at least culturally see any progress. They'll be advancing because they're doing service, but it won't be reflected in practical culture. But it'll also weaken their spiritual development because of anartas. So that's why you see it's always recommended. The varnashram is recommended. Not that we care about varnashram. It's just the best secondary tool to use. I mean, if you can work on just knowledge and detachment, that's also great. But if you're going to work with the world beyond that, then varnashram is what you use. So... Narad Muni to Maharaj Yudhishthir, Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 11, 14, and 15, 21 through 24, 30, 32, and 35. For a brahmana, there are six occupational duties. A kshatriya should not accept charity, but he may perform the other five of these duties. A king or kshatriya is not allowed to levy taxes on brahmins, but he may make his livelihood by levying minimal taxes, customs, and duties, and penalty fines upon his other subjects. Right, So situating yourself properly within these duties then is always favorable. Right? So that means here is that the Brahmin, he can do all the activities, the six activities. So that means he could do the yajna for others, he could do the worship for others, and he can accept charity from others. Right? But the kshatriya can do those, but he can't accept the charity. So you can do a yajna for someone else, but he wouldn't accept the charity. He can do a puja for somebody, but he won't accept the charity. You know, and who would you be doing it for? Maybe it's for a friend, relative, or something like that. You know, in the family, you know, the child's there. He does the samskar himself instead of the Brahmin, but he doesn't expect that he's going to get any dakshin. But you invite a Brahmin, you'll give dakshin. Is that something? So these positions, the understanding what the nature is and then functioning within that, that's favorable in Krishna consciousness. Also it says levying minimal taxes, customs, duties, and penalty fines. So it's not excessive. Does that make sense? So the places for excessive, then they should be applied where it's important. Does that make sense? The mercantile community should always follow the directions of the brahmanas and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. For the shudras, the only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in his service. As you see here, banking wasn't recommended. It's there. But generally, you see in general descriptions, it only mentions agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. And protection of cows includes farming, right? Because when you have cows, you're going to have bulls, so you farm. Right? Like that. But banking can be used, but generally it's not recommended. Like that. And they should accept a master from a higher social order. It means they work under somebody who is following the Brahmins. In other words, the idea is to serve a Brahmin if you can, if not, serve someone who's serving Brahmins. Right? That's the idea. The symptoms of a Brahmin are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity and penance. Yeah, so austerity will be the performance of duties, right? Whether you want to do them or not. Penance is the difficulty you gain, that you go through doing that austerity. Right? Just like austerity is that you cook and it's summertime. Penance is the difficulty that it's hot and it's because it's summertime and you're cooking. You understand? So you can say austerity, it includes penance. Right? Or if you say penance, that means why would you do it unless it's based on austerity, which is a fact. Or you can say them both. So most of the time you see they'll mention austerity without the penance. Sometimes you see both. And occasionally you see just penance and not, the austerity is not mentioned. Because why would there be a penance unless there's a rule that you're following? Right?
They say, in yoga usually they say penance. They don't really say austerity as such.
But are you supposed to be bending yourself up like a pretzel? So therefore there's penance, not necessarily austerity. The austerity would be is that if you're going to do it, you do it regularly, you know, every day at that time for that much time, you know, and move forward. That's the austerity, because in other words, the austerity is what the mind goes through, the penance is what the body goes through. You know, of course that affects the mind, but it's different, because the one is you don't want to do it, just that does. So that's the austerity, is that you perform your duty. And the penance is then the discomfiture that comes from performing the duties. Yeah. Cleanliness, right? So then, you know, inside, outside, consciousness like that. Satisfaction, we discuss forgiveness, right? Forgiveness means is we have to be able to move forward like before. There's right and wrong. Someone does wrong, then there may be punishment, but that forgiveness is a higher principle. You know, we're smart to see that they're situated such that they will give up whatever's the problem. But forgiveness is the higher principle. Simplicity. Knowledge means the simplest way to do something you do. It doesn't mean that it's unsophisticated, it just means it's straightforward. Knowledge, mercy, truthfulness. Truthfulness means it's about Krishna. And complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right. So this is then the brahminical qualification. So that person can do all the six occupational, and that then kshatriyas can do five of those without the charity, and then be follow the Brahmins. The Vaishyas then are following the Brahmins, paying their taxes. Shudras are following them, and so then it works out nice. This is Nard Muni. Okay. To be influential in battle. Unconquerable, patient, challenging, and charitable, right? Because the other one was basically occupation, right? So now you're getting, you see with the Brahmins and like that, what are the qualities by which they perform the duties? What duties they should perform, and the qualities by which they should perform them. Influential in battle, unconquerable, patient, challenging, and charitable, right? So a lot of times you think, you know, they don't need to be patient. Mm-hmm. Right? No, I don't have time for this. I got too many things to do. No, but they have to be patient. Because if you're not patient, you do not get big things. Big things take time. Right? Challenging doesn't mean that everything you say they challenge. It means that they're, you know, willing to take up a challenge. You know, and willing also if something's wrong to challenge it. And charitable. They give in charity, not that they just are in control, so they get everything and have they share that facility. To control the bodily necessities, right? So they can control the senses, right? Because we'll generally say, oh, that's brahminical, that's also kshatriya. That's why you see is that taking up corporate management is always going to be more interesting for, you know, in the community than the kshatriya level, because the kshatriyas actually have to control their senses. Follow Brahmins, control the senses, and like that. Well, that means it's part of the occupation, they have to. Vaishyas, they should follow Brahmins in their ashram, but in the Varna, it doesn't mention them. But Kshatriyas, to do their Varna and ashram, the Varna, they have to follow Brahmins. So therefore, the corporate is always so much easier because you just do whatever you want. You don't have to control the senses. You're the authority and everything like that, as long as you know, give some charity or do something like that. So it seems so much easier because it's not actually. you know, here, to be forgiving, you know, you're in charge, you're in control, you don't forgive, you know. To be attached to the brahminical nature, you know, because that's not practical. And to be always jolly and truthful, right? Yeah, what's it? Old King Cole was a merry old soul, right? Yes. Yeah, and truthful means it's about what the Shastra says, what the Brahmins say. These are the symptoms of a Kshatriya. So if he's just too political and this and that, never says and that, that's not Kshatriya. Kshatriya will stand because he will accept the challenge. He's influential in battle. So he can speak the truth. Does that make sense? So we have the political bureaucrats. We're generally taking that as shut, you know, how you say the high, you know, that's the perfection, you know, based on corporate structure. So we see it's not in line with these qualities, and it doesn't give the results. It's not inspiring to people. It doesn't give direction. It doesn't even control the situation. So at least if it did that, okay, it does something, but it doesn't even do that.
Makes more problems.
Yeah, it makes more problems. Takes more money. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.